First Peter, if you would please. I'm just going to give you one thought. As we just look at this, I'm not even going to have you stand tonight. We're just going to read a couple of verses here. But I want you to think about this burden about the Word of God and how the Word of God affects us. And we know that Christ is the Word of God, if you will. And it tells us that in the book of John. And we know that he's called that, a capital W word. And he's the living word, if you will. And Peter goes on to say, we know he's been talking to the Christians, the Gentile believers, the strangers. Don't forget that when you read 1st and 2nd Peter, okay? Don't forget that when you read these books of the Bible. Peter is trying to reach people that know nothing about God, that know nothing about his God, maybe except for salvation or except for what the Apostle Paul has preached. But as far as just their manner of life and their culture, they didn't know God before. So this is new to them. So he has a desire to show to them who Jesus Christ is. By the way, Peter got to live with the Lord for 3.5 years. All right. So if anybody got to know Jesus, Peter got to know Jesus. He understood Jesus. He got to witness these things. He was a first hand witness to Christ, his life and his example. So he's trying to show to these people his Savior, Jesus Christ, his Lord whom he followed, this man of Galilee whom he lived with. By the way, Paul didn't have that same experience. Paul's a great preacher. Paul was used of God in a mighty way, but Paul didn't walk with Christ in his earthly ministry. Peter did. And he had that opportunity. He had that perspective. Now, as we look at this verse, just listen to what it says. He says, for as much then. All right. So in other words, he's trying to make a connection. He just got done talking about Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, the just for the unjust. He just got done talking about him sitting at the right hand of God, having authority and the angels and all the things being made subject unto Christ. He says, for as much then. So you understand the terminology, right? You understand why he used that word. He says, because of all this, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. Jesus Christ suffered in the flesh. You understand that? God himself came and dwelt among us in the flesh. When Jesus Christ, if you will, sweat as it were great drops of blood, as he was beaten, as he had his beard plucked out, as he had the crown of thorns beat into his head, right? You understand? As he was crucified, as he was hanging on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, right? And he said words like, it is finished. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The agony that he went through, the pain, the suffering. Taking upon our sins upon him. All these things. He says then, I love this phrase, and this is one thought tonight, because I'm not even going to get to any of that. So I'm just going to go here. He says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. So Peter's telling these Gentile believers, we've got to abandon our thinking. We've got to abandon what we know in our cultures. We've got to abandon, if you will, our upbringing. Just recently, I had a gentleman discuss with me a topic, and he asked me a question. He said, so you're telling me then, because I had given him an answer, and he said, so you're telling me then that I have to give up my culture? I said, well, yeah, if the culture's wrong, give it up. If your upbringing was wrong, give it up for Christ. So yes, give up your culture. You know, that's a hot topic these days, is it not? Yeah, racism, you know, all that stuff. I'm just telling you, we ought to give it all up for Jesus Christ. You know, I'm thankful for being raised in a Christian home and having a godly heritage. That's wonderful. There's not as much as I have to give up, but there are some things that I have to give up. Because I love my mom and dad. They're here tonight. They didn't do everything right. And they'll tell you that. I, as a parent, I don't do everything right. But can I, so there's some things that I don't do that my parents did. Why? Because I've learned. And, you know, people, they want to play the victim card, right? Well, oh, I was just raised that way. Well, you don't have to act like that. You don't have to do those things. You can be different. You can learn Christ. You can arm yourselves with the mind of Christ. You understand, folks, that God wants us to war a good warfare. He wants us to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He wants us to change our mind. He wants us to be conformed to the image of His Son. He wants us to be transformed in the renewing of our mind. We don't need to think like a human anymore. We need to think like God. We need to think like Jesus Christ. We need to be armed with the same mind. We have to be armed with the mind of Christ. God wants us to have complete faith in God. That's one of the things that we can do that Jesus did. You say, what is this? What is Peter saying? Peter says, I lived with this man. I walked with him. I went to the towns that he went to. And Jesus Christ in the flesh was completely and had complete faith in God the Father. If you go back to the Gospels and you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see that Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, in his earthly life, had complete faith in God. That's a mindset. So if I'm going to arm my mind, I need to arm it with having complete faith in God the Father. We talked about God the Father this morning. In Mark chapter 11, listen to what happened here. In the morning, this is toward the end of Christ's ministry, in the morning they passed and they saw the fig tree. Remember we talked about the fig tree before. And it dried up from the roots. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, by the way, who said this? Peter. Who are we talking about? Peter, the author of this book. He says, Peter calling to remembrance saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. So Peter brings up the fig tree, and God says to Peter and to the other disciples, Have faith in God. And then, of course, we have this famous passage where it says that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, and if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. What is he telling him about? He's telling him to have a mindset in God, to have faith in God, to be rooted and grounded in their faith, and their faith in God. He says, have faith in God. So if we're going to arm ourselves with the right mind, we need to have complete and unquestionable faith in God. Brother Fries, I could sit and listen to him talk for hours. He has told me different experiences that he's gone through in the business. And there's been some doozies, right, Brother Fries? Some difficult things. But this man, as much as he says he worries, which I know he does, and he shouldn't, right? He says that by his own testimony. But it's amazing because then he'll call me and say, Pastor, thanks for praying. God just answered this prayer in the exact time that he needed to. You know, that strengthens our faith. And I know, Brother Freeze, I know this for a fact because you've told me, he knows he shouldn't doubt God. But when you get worked up in the moment and the bills aren't being paid and that check hasn't come yet, it's hard. But then the check comes. And of course, the check comes, doesn't it? And 'cause God is faithful. So if we're going to arm our minds, we need to have complete faith in God. The other thing, next thing we need to have is we need to have complete surrender to God's will. If we want to know the mind of Christ, let's look at Christ and his example. Peter is trying to show the people, these Gentile believers, these strangers, his Savior, Jesus Christ. They didn't get to walk with him. They didn't get to live with him. They didn't get to take that journey. Peter did. So he says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Well, it needs to be a mind that's in complete surrender to God's will. Remember this? When he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I want you to listen to something interesting. The Bible gives us this next sentence on purpose. When we submit to the will of God completely, God strengthens us. This did not have to be recorded in Scripture. It says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Isn't that amazing? You ever just read your Bible and just look at the amazing things that are in the Scriptures? When he said, nevertheless, God sent an angel to strengthen him. We need to have the mind to completely surrender to God's will. We need to have the mind to completely have faith in God. We need to have the mind to be steadfast and on purpose with everything we do. John chapter 9. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. Now, by the way, pause there. He's answering their question. He didn't say this man was sinless. So please don't take that out of context. Anyways, he said, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Then he made this statement. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Remember when Jesus, ending his ministry, he was telling his disciples over and over again what was going to happen. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be betrayed. This is going to happen, guys. Remember Peter? No, Lord, no. It's not, get thee behind me, Satan. You understand, Jesus, we know in Scripture, it says he set his face as a flint to go to the cross. He had a purpose. He had something to accomplish. Are we just going to live life willy-nilly, just kind of doing whatever comes to at hand? Or are we going to live life with purpose? We know that all things work together for good to them that, who are the called according to his purpose. When we have the mind to make his purpose our purpose, that's when we're armed with the right mind. We need to have a purpose. And we need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the what? Work of the... Hello. Not in our work. Not in our accomplishments, but in what God wants. Over and over again in the New Testament, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that has sent me. I must finish my Father's work. I need to be about this business, my Father's business. That's the kind of mind we need to have. The next one, there's only two more. We're almost done. Brother Freeze, you did a good job. You saved me just enough time to go over some time. Amen. We need to have a mind of compassion for others. Did you see the compassion that Brother Freeze had? I could hear it in his voice. To get gospel tracts and Bibles into the hands of the people in Latin America. To get gospel tracts and Bibles into the hands of missionaries so that they could have their spiritual ammunition to see people saved. You heard Brother Larice last week as he mentioned what a joy it was to receive the tracts and Bibles from Brother Freeze and what he's trying to accomplish with the Latin American Missions Project. I'm just telling you, we've got to have a compassion for others. I'm guilty of this. You're guilty of this. We are selfish people. We really are. And maybe there's times where we're not, but you know, we've got to do our best to try to get rid of this, to become selfless people. That's the mind that we need to have. Jesus Christ had compassion for others. You know this passage of scripture, Matthew chapter 9. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. If you read that passage of scripture and you go to the next chapter, chapter 10, guess what he does? He tells them to pray for laborers, and then he sends them into the harvest. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to give so that gospel tracts can be purchased and shipped across the world? Do you have any compassion for lost people? These little things, they don't walk. They don't. We have to place them. We have to put them out. Thank you, Brother Freeze, for supporting your pastor. He mentioned one of my favorite phrases. It's good to lay gospel tracts around. Put them on windshields. Lay them on a table. Give them out. That's good. It's better to put them into the hands of people. But it's best to open them up and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. You've heard me say it. Soul winners, you've heard me say it. Good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. We have to always be improving. We have to always be trying to get better. We need to have that kind of a mind with compassion for others. And then lastly, about this thing of arming ourselves with the right mind, the Christian should have a mind of sacrifice and self-denial. Are you willing to give your life for Christ? We should be willing to give our life for Christ. Remember that while they were there at the well, Jesus said, before they got there, he said, I must needs go into Samaria. He had an appointment, a divine appointment with a woman at the well. They got there. You've heard me tell this in my discipleship class. Those of you that are in my Sunday school class, you've heard me tell this story. This is based on supposition, so this part is my opinion, but I'm pretty confident that this is the way it happened. All right? He sat at the well, right? The disciples went into town to buy food. Okay? It's my supposition that they passed her on their way into town as she came out to Jesus at the well. That's my supposition. I'm going to stick by it. I believe that to be the case. They did not talk to her about Jesus Christ. He witnessed to her. He told her that he was the living water. He told her that if she would drink of this water, and she said, well, and she trusted Christ. So by the way, think about this. In that scripture, she goes back to where? Town. Passes the disciples again. Where were they? In town. And when they went to town, they knew where to buy food already, right?
And they didn't have to talk to anybody, right?
No.
She went to town, got all the people. Hey, I found the living water. And she brought the town out to Jesus. The same townspeople that the disciples talked to and didn't tell about Jesus. Come on, are you getting this? What were they focused on? Whataburger. When they got back from the well, or from the town to the well, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore the disciples said one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And now this is in the Greek. Then Jesus saith unto them, No dummies. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You have to read that in the context there. Are you understanding the picture here? We need to deny ourselves. We say, oh, well, I have this appointment or I have this thing to accomplish, so I can't give out a gospel tract. I can't witness for Christ. I can't accomplish his work. Remember what Brother Free said? Brother Freeze said that in his day-to-day business of sending beef to the world, Brother Freeze, you're welcome to send beef to my door anytime. I will accept every beef package you send to me, okay, with great joy. But he said he finally had to see what God was doing in that day-to-day life of his. That it wasn't about the beef. It was about getting the gospel tract to the people. What are we missing because we don't have the right mind? The disciples, they got back to the well. They didn't have the right mind. They had a selfish mind, not a self-sacrificing mind. Jesus said, I've already eaten, guys. I won somebody to Christ. That was my food. What have you done? You've wasted your time. You passed that woman. You missed an opportunity. You passed those people. You missed an opportunity. You're eating physical food. I'm eating spiritual food. You're blowing it, guys. You don't have the right thinking. You don't have the right mind. You say, Jesus wasn't so rude and rough to them. Yes, he was. He said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. He's telling them, you blew it, guys. You messed up. You didn't tell these people about Christ. I had to do it. You understand that we've got to change our mind. Remember, this is written to Gentiles. We're Gentiles. We need to have a different mind. We need to arm ourselves with the same mind. Don't be a soldier without the right armament. We're supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier has the right armament. They arm themselves. Why? So they can fight the good fight of faith. We need to do likewise. We need to learn, as Peter was trying to teach the Gentiles, we need to have a different mind. We need to follow Christ's example. He said, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. That's the only thought that I have time to give you tonight. But I did get through all 5 of those thoughts in that thought. I'm so proud of myself. Are we going to do that or not? Peter said to do it. Are we going to? We have to choose. I can go on living with my own thoughts, my own thinking, my own mind. Or I can reject it and take on the mind of Christ. Follow his example. I gave you many examples of these things in the scriptures. You have the equipment. Just like missionaries get gospel tracts, but they've got to give them out. You've been given the equipment to change your mind, to arm yourselves with the right kind of mind. You just got to do it now. And that's our responsibility.